When I was in high school, I took a speech class, and the teacher had us sign a contract to for the grade, and the grade we wanted. So I signed up for to get an A in the class. But there was a clause in the contract that was an option that if we didn't give a speech, then we had to take three whacks. And so I took the three whacks. So you might have done better if I hadn't done that. But but you know, as a Christian, we can't want to take those three those lashes, because that's not Luke 12:48. But he who did not know and did things worthy of beating shall be beaten with few lashes. For everyone to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And of him to whom men entrust much, they will require and demand all the more. It's been a real blessing to be in this church over the last year, and to hear sound doctrine and the fellowship that you have and the humble teachers that you have. And I don't take it for granted, because I just came out of a situation that, you know, was rather difficult for a few months. Over the last several months, I have been confronted with the need to persuade people within my circle of Christian friends concerning sound doctrine. It seems all around me that I have been surprised to find false and unbiblical views, even about the fundamentals of our faith. Over the last several months, I have heard one friend telling his young son not to pay attention to doctrine. It's unimportant. Another Christian friend supports and defends gay marriage. And we all know about that agenda and how it's against God's word. In a discussion after church at one of the churches I was visiting and had been visiting, there was a man I considered to be a mature believer. He and his wife were at every service, and you know, they lifted their hands and praised and everything. And so I was having a conversation with him about the election, and I said that Mormons, you know, I'm going to vote for Romney, but Mormons need to repent. And he told me that Mormons don't need to repent. Why do they need to repent? And, you know, you think, well, he's uninformed. You know, it's doctrines of demons. But I proceeded to discuss that with him, and he didn't flinch. He acted as though he knew that. And he explained that for him what's important is intimacy with the Spirit. So, you know, I have to concentrate on being intimate with the Spirit. And I've had two separate friends who have claimed that God is using Glenn Beck, who is a Mormon, if you don't know, that God is using Glenn Beck to call the nation back to repentance. Now, how is it that God would be using a Mormon, a man that's following the doctrines of demons, to call the nation to repentance? There's a bit of a disconnect in a lot of Christians about sound doctrine. And I was at a funeral for my aunt, and a pastor who I've known a long time was telling me the most important and telling thing for him about a Christian and their spirituality is to ask them their views on peace and stewardship of the earth. And you're going like, really? You know, the most important thing is stewardship of the earth? You know, I mean, if I cut a tree down, that's, you know, stewardship of the earth? And, you know, that was what Jesus is about in these times. And I'm like, Where are people at? And this is a pastor who has a church. And a man recently who I have known for at least 2 years, who I've often had breakfast with, he told me that he does not believe that Jesus is God. And he's a Christian. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm not gathering these people around me. They're just everywhere. And so when you're in a church where they're teaching sound doctrine, you shouldn't take it for granted, because all around you are people that are saying they are Christians and yet don't have sound doctrine. And some of them are very much reading their Bible and very much claiming to have fellowship with the Lord. But there's a disconnect. And then finally, I wanted to mention that I think it's approximately a year and a half, 2 years ago, on Facebook, I had a interesting thing happen, and I want to talk about from the perspective of a friend who, I want to tell you the background. I had, for a long time, struggled to trust God. And when I say a long time, 20 years ago, I came back from China, and I went through a test. I didn't know it was a test at the time. I was just seeking God. And the test was such a personal weapon formed against me that it cut between me and the Spirit of God. I mean, it just, Satan imitated God's voice, and I didn't recognize it. And for a year, it deceived me and misled me. It was just like a trick, you know? And when I got woke up and no one knew any of it was happening except for me and between God, and I was leaning on God, and so I got very angry, and can't imagine. And I changed the direction of my life. I had set out to be a missionary in China, and had already left and been on the mission field, and came back and went through this thing. And after that, I turned directions. I quit pursuing God. I couldn't read my Bible. I couldn't do anything that would have led the right path. But I didn't leave the church, because, you know, once you have the Holy Spirit, where are you going to go? You know? So I became kind of like a dead person. In my mind, always arguing and going over and over and over the events and the facts and how it crushed me. And so I was bitter. And so I turned and pursued computers instead, and got a job at the Hoover Company and worked in their IT department for 10 years. God was blessing me with those opportunities, but if I got to thinking that I was blessed, I heard in the Spirit that I wasn't blessed. You know, it's like, so, and I was hearing God, and I was saying, I can hear you now, I can hear you now. That was my attitude, but my attitude was, I can hear you now, but I'm not going to pay attention. I don't want to hear you now. So it was a real serious disconnect. It was a serious problem, and I didn't think I could get over it. You know, Jesus told me, you have to get over it, but I couldn't. You know, it's like it was a brokenness, and I won't go into the details for this time, but so anyway, 20 years later, I got invited to go to a small group, and they were going to learn Hebrew, and I didn't have a reason or excuse not to, so I said yes. And so I went to this group, and as a result of that, I joined Facebook friends with them. And one of the ladies there posted a verse and a video. And the verse was Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, which is, could have somebody read it. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, if you would read it that way.
It says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
And she posted a video on Rob Bell, and it was just an interview, and I looked at the video, and then I went and looked at another video of his and promoting his book, and it was just a simple, straightforward, no-brainer, you know. And so I wrote down, too bad, another false teacher, universalism. You know, we're talking about, it took 4 minutes to see that it was false doctrine, and I didn't need to read his book. I could see in those two videos from miles away that it wasn't the gospel. So I posted that, and the youth pastor jumped in and started to argue. And so I tried to explain to him why it was false. And he proceeded to shout at us, if you can shout on Facebook. But I was kind of ignoring that aspect, but going on with the argument. And at nighttime, I laid down, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came into the room, and it was like he nuzzled up next to me, and he started to pour insight into me and speak things, just little words, phrases, and I would get up and go type them down and put them on Facebook. And this continued for 5 nights. And at one point, I started to panic a little bit because I said, what if I'm wrong? I haven't read this book, and here I am confronting this youth pastor. And so I'm laying there, and the Holy Spirit came on me and started thrashing my body up and down in the bed, and out of me came a word which was, Satan is a lying spirit, get out of the house. And get out of the house. And I, over and over again, get out of the house. And I went down and typed that on Facebook, you know. And then the Lord told me that he had nothing to do with that book, that even the fonts weren't his. Now here is Rob Bell writing a book that is purported to be a Christian book, and Jesus says that not even the fonts were his. So we're talking serious difference of opinion. And the youth pastor doesn't get it. So on Sunday morning, I thought we could resolve this. And I walked up to him, and he walked up to me saying, I disagree with you, I disagree with you, I disagree with you. And then just set me up the whole way and again called me a Pharisee. And I said to him, I said, this is the first time in 30 years that I felt that it was necessary to rebuke a pastor on doctrine. And that's what I said. Now, someone else threw me out of the church. Another person there. And I was kind of trembling like this as I'm saying it because, you know, I was having a bit of fear as I was speaking. But, and the Lord said to me that no good deed goes unpunished. And so I had peace. You know, it gave me peace that what I said was right. But the miraculous thing is that I was getting the most tremendous healing in my entire life because I had not trusted God in 20 years for anything. And I mean, if I could understand it and it agreed with me, as in I could fully comprehend it, then I'd go along with what God had said. But otherwise, you wouldn't get me to trust or move. When I went to build my house, a friend said to me, you have to have a word from God before you build your house. And I said, well, that's a pretty tall order, you know. So I prayed, and he said to me, I will give you your daily bread. And I thought, well, now that makes sense. That's all God ever promises. So I went ahead and counted up my daily bread and built my house. But that was about the extent of what I would trust God about. And, you know, that's kind of... And so the miraculous thing was that I was having the greatest healing in the midst of the greatest conflict I've ever experienced in church. The accusations, it was kind of interesting in a way because the Lord was closer to me than, you know, where I had been for years. And all of a sudden, my heart was changed, and I was hungry again for the Word. The conflict in me was gone. The thing that I couldn't get rid of, that I couldn't, you know, if you can imagine 20 years of if I turn on the radio, I was bitter. If I turned on, you know, it's like, it was just like constant battle, gone, instantly, just like, because when the Holy Spirit came, it was just like unexplainable. And, you know, I grew up in a church that was a Mennonite church, and they used the same words as the rest of the body Christ uses, you know, the Spirit, and many of the same things. But they don't mean the same thing. And their doctrines that allows them to speak the same words, but you don't know what they mean. So you have to test them because they may be talking about the Spirit, but it's not the Spirit that we can experience in this life. And that's a shame. So, I wanted to read another scripture. It's Matthew 24:10. And this is an end times passage. And then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. And the love of a great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And, you know, as I read this, I get amazed at the faithfulness of God who, as you've said, doesn't leave us. You know, he didn't leave me. It just waited till the best opportunity came to bring a healing. And then Romans 11:22. Note and appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's gracious kindness to you, provided you continue in the grace and abide in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off and pruned away. And, you know, I experienced pruning and separated from that church. And God said to me that he was my shepherd. And so that was comforting. But, you know, in a way, both things happened. You know, the pruning and yet blessing. And 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart as holy and acknowledge him as the Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. And one of the reasons I am enjoying this training is because the opportunity to persuade others to return to sound doctrine is all around us if we are studying and showing ourselves to be approved with the message. And that is what I've been doing. And Proverbs another verse, Proverbs 3:5. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own understanding. Now, this was a verse that God spoke to me before the test came. But afterwards, you know, you read the second part of the verse, or six, verse six. In all your ways, recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. And so, who can judge your own ways, whether you are walking in all his ways? And so that's why the test came, was because I wasn't acknowledging him in all my ways. And for that reason, I had to go through a test. And it turned out to be a long road, and for me to recover from getting an F. And you don't want to get F like that, but it has been recovered. And then the last verse I want to share, and I think even though this is Psalms 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Lord Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument and 10 strings, and upon a psalmistry, upon a harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked springs as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. And so it's a tremendous thing to have a heart that is back worshiping the Lord. And I have another thing that God often gives me verses. You'll hear just a little bit in the Spirit, and then go look it up the rest of the way or whatever. But Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before men and confesses me out of a state of oneness with me, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven, and confess that I am abiding in him. And when the Lord whispered that to me, it was just like, you know, think about it. Jesus is confessing to the Father that I am abiding in him. And the next thing the Lord said to me was, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that, that's a testimony, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And hearing it and wanting to go that direction constantly, and not to go another way with your thoughts, with your bitterness, with anything, but wanting. Anyway, that is some of the things that he said to me in the last year, and it has been a tremendous blessing. And so I think I will conclude there.